From sea to sea. How many of you know what Canada's motto is? I'm being patriotic here. How many of you know what Canada's motto is? On the Canadian coat of arms, do you know what it says? From sea to sea. Don't put the word shining in there. Don't do that. Not unless you're from south of the border. Sea to shining sea is part of the song America the Beautiful. So that's not ours. We'll leave that for them. Sea to sea is part of the Canadian motto. And it comes from the book of Psalms. And he shall have dominion from sea to sea. It's kind of cool, isn't it? We want to talk today from sea to sea. Of course, it's different C's. It's not three-letter words. It's just individual letters. From C, the letter C, to the letter C. And then from there, we're going to go on into a different C, which leads us into yet a fourth C. So tonight is just a strange service, see? I'm sure Russ appreciated that, if not Ron did. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Let's get into Scripture. Oh, enough already. Have you guys ever had a week where you feel like a jar filled with water with about 2 inches of dirt and it's been shaking all week and it's just... Yeah. Oh, and you just want 3 days just to sit and let everything settle for a while. Colossians. Yeah, turn to the book of Colossians because we'll be reading from right before there. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to read. You remember a few weeks ago, I told you that we were going to talk through the last few sermons that we had in the book of Philippians about some of the favorite verses in Christendom. Some of the most famous and most beloved verses. But at the same time, the thing that is really sad is those particular verses are some of the most abused verses in all of Christianity. We're going to talk about one of those tonight. Philippians chapter 4, let's begin reading at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. See, these guys wanted to help out Paul, so they were trying to send him a gift. They were trying to send some help to him. Not that I speak, Paul says, from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Let's pray. Father, please be our teacher this evening. I ask that you would open our minds to what you want to say. That you would give us the courage to listen, the willingness to hear, and the humility to obey. Thank you for this time, and I ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. From sea to sea, let's start with the first sea.
Contentment.
What is contentment? Satisfaction. All right. It's been said this way. Contentment is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. J.D. Rockefeller is quoted, whether it's true or not, I can't say. He's not here for me to ask. But he's been quoted as saying, how much money is enough? Do you remember his answer?
$1 more. $1 more.
Doesn't matter how much you have. Enough is always
more.
Contentment. This is just something that we know so little about in our culture, in our society. Everywhere we look, we see discontentment thrown in our faces, and we're told that it's supposed to be us. Did you know that according to our society, you're supposed to be discontent? Do you realize that? How many of you drive a vehicle older than 2018? Older than 2018. You're supposed to be discontent with it because the new models are out. And you can get amazing financing and tie up your life savings for generations to come. Oh, wait, no, that's in the housing market. I'm told that if you go to Vancouver, you do a family mortgage. Your mortgage will be passed on. It's about the only way you can afford to buy a house in Vancouver. We are sold to discontentment everywhere we turn. Look outside. Look at all the discontentment lit up across the street. You need what I have. Really? I was happy until you told me. We're sold discontentment at every corner, at every turn. You don't have what you need. You don't have what you need. You need something more. You need the latest Blu-ray player. You need the latest home theater. Forget Blu-ray player. You need the latest. See, I'm not even up on the latest. I'm so far behind, I'm ahead. Paul commends the Philippians. The Philippians were trying to get help to him, trying to send him money, trying to give him help along his way as he traveled from city to city. And Paul says, thank you. I appreciate that. But you know what? Hey, I'm not saying it because I was desperate. I'm not saying it because I needed the money. What does Paul say? Not that I speak from want, verse 11. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. What are some of the key words in that verse? We're going to set aside the preacher for a minute and pull out the teacher. What are some of the key words? Learned. Thank you. Teacher's pet. I have learned. What does learned convey to us? Teachable, okay.
Trial and error.
Thank you. It's a process. It's experience. Paul does not say, guys, I know what it's like. I became a Christian and bam, I was happy with what I had and happier with what I didn't have. And that is not what Paul is saying. I have learned to be content. We need to be teachable. We need to be humble enough to realize that we don't know it all. That's just kind of freaky and scary. I mean, especially if you're standing up here on this side of the pulpit. You're supposed to know it all, right? I have an answer for everything. I do. Most of the time, it's like, I have no clue. That's an answer. Oh. Unfortunately, Google thinks it knows everything. I challenge you to look up some theological questions on Google and see what it don't know. Wow. I have learned, Paul says, to be content in almost any situation that I face. Is that right? In every circumstance. You know, it was kind of strange as I was looking through some old journals. the last little while, and I came across one that dated back to 1993, which was a banner year for Trish and I, because that was the year our first son was born. And that was kind of cool, but it shocked me as I was reading my journal, and it said, yes, we cashed in our pennies today, so now we have money to buy milk and eggs. We had like less than $50 to our name at that point in time. Wow. Yeah, we know what it's like to be in want. At the same time, one of the lowest salaries we've ever been paid was when we were living in Ukraine. But I tell you what, compared to Ukrainian standard of living, we had so much. And life was so easy. Sometimes we find ourselves with lots of stuff. Is that wrong? Is it a problem? Does God want you poor? No. Especially if you're a pastor. I didn't say that. Does God want you rich? You know what? That's his business, isn't it? It's up to him what he wants for you. What he wants from us is contentment. Let's get real practical here. How can we practice contentment? How can we build contentment into our lives? Sorry? Okay. Mike? Give. Okay. There you go. You want that? Give it to others. All right. How else? Okay. How do we do that? I mean, that's a very religious sounding answer, Alfred, and it's true, but how? How? Sorry? Okay. Let's get real, real, real practical. Real practical, all right? What's the opposite of being content? And don't dare tell me discontented. Okay. What do you do when you're discontented? You grumble. I need that 2015. I need that 2018. Well, if it was one son, it would be a GMC Sierra. If it was the other son, it would be a Dodge Ram. For me, I'll take anything that's 2018. Thank you. We grumble. We complain. We say it's not good enough or it's not enough. So what is the opposite of that? If that is the action that accompanies discontentment, what are the actions that accompany contentment? Gratitude. You know, in Russian, we have a real, real simple word for this. It's called spasiba. Thank you. When is the last time you looked at your life and said, I don't have this? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. My life isn't about me. My life is about you. Thank you. Am I in a difficult situation? Thank you. I can learn to know you in ways I never could if life was always easy. When you see a tree that's lived an easy life, so to speak, what's going to happen the first storm that comes along? Yeah, so are the people that it lands on. They're going to be challenged. It has no roots. Its roots are shallow, and it has no stability. But a tree that's weathered the storms, where are its roots? Deep. Storms get us to go deep into what holds us fast. What holds you fast? Is it Jesus? If not, you're living on sand. And no tree rooted in sand is going to stand. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. In whatever. Paul goes on to say, I know how to get along with humble means. I know what it's like, he says, to be hungry. Read through the last half of the book of Acts, and you'll see what Paul's life was like, that tiny little snippet. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned this secret. How many of you like secrets? The rest of you are lying. We like to know the secret, don't we? We like to know the golden key. The one thing that's going to make everything fit, make everything work, right? What's the missing key here? Paul says simply, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. I've learned the secret both of having an abundance and suffering. I have learned the secret to contentment. What is the secret to contentment? Good reading is better than good thinking right now. It's in your Bibles, not on my face. I can do all things in Him who gives me strength. That is the secret to contentment. And that is why that verse is one of the most abused verses in all Christianity. Let's talk about the next C for a moment. Any ideas of what it might be now? Context. Let's talk about context. We're switching from preaching to teaching now. Oh, my beloved Bible school students. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many of you have quoted that in the midst of difficult times? How many of you have quoted that when you've been assigned a ministry task that you thought you were not up to? How many of you realize that that is taking that completely out of context? See, Paul in the context here is talking about contentment. He's not talking even about ministry. He's talking about finding himself in circumstances, in situations, not in looking for ministry opportunities, but in living life. I don't have enough to pay TELUS. Well, don't sign up for TELUS then. Get Shaw. I don't have enough to pay my bills. Yeah, I've been there. I understand that. I do. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to pay one overdue bill because I can't pay the other three. And you cycle through the month after month after month. Which bill collector do I keep at bay this month? I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be out of work and not be able to find it. I know what it's like. What is the secret to living in that? I can do all things in Him who gives me strength. If this is where God has put me, because for whatever reason, I'm here. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The secret to contentment is understanding that life isn't about you or your satisfaction or your contentment or your stuff. It's about God and His plans for your life. Do you remember how we started the service last week? How did we start the service? Four words. All the time. And all the time. Do you believe it? If we believe it, why do we have so much struggle with contentment? Because what God has given me today is good. And it's for my good, because God is good all the time. I may not understand it. It might not feel good. Yeah, well, neither does surgery. But surgery can be very good. How many of you have had life-saving surgery? Did it feel good? Did the recovery process feel good? Are you glad today that you went through it? The rest of us are, because you're here with us. Some things are good that don't feel good, and yet our world, our culture, our society says, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. It's got to be right if it feels so good. Lies. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We need to remember to put our scripture into the proper context and use it appropriately. This verse does not mean that I can go out and look for ministry and claim this, that whatever I find to do, God is going to bless me in it because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Really, is that what it says? No. Do you also know what it does? Do you see what it doesn't say? You know what? I have to confess. I preached this passage before. I've taught this passage before. And I had such a revelation today as I'm thinking about this. It stunned me. This isn't even written as a promise. This is in the middle of a personal testimony. Let me ask you a question. I have learned to get along in Kiev on the transit system quite well, and I can do shopping there. Why? Because I've studied and learned, and I know how to do it. How many of you can say that? Go ahead, Vitya. You guys can't say that, can you? Because you've never been there. You've never done that. What is Paul saying here? Paul does not say, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He says, this is something that I've learned. I can because I've learned it. Have you learned to be content? Have you learned to know your God to the point where you can say this with Paul? See, Paul doesn't say, what's the matter with you? You can do everything that God, you can do it all. It's not what Paul is saying. He said, God has taken me on some amazing paths, and sometimes I wondered what I was going to eat, and sometimes I wondered what I was going to do with the leftovers. But the cool thing is I've learned that it doesn't matter that in any of those situations, I can get along fine because I've got God, and God is in my life. This is Paul's personal testimony. Because Paul learned to be content. Have you learned to be content? That's a nasty question. But I'm not going to let you guys off the hook because God's been asking me that question. And I'm not going to be the only one in church tonight who gets asked that question. Have you learned to be content? Have you learned that in whatever situation God puts you in, have you learned that whatever situation you find yourself in, you can be content because you know your God? Do you know God that well? Do you know your scripture that well? Do you spend time with him? How do you get to know somebody? Sorry? How else? Okay, how do you get to know a person? How do you get to know another person on the street? Okay? How else? Sorry? Meet them? All right, how else? Listen. Who said that? Listen? But that negates that. Why listen? There's only two sides to every issue, mine and the wrong one. Why should I listen? That's the society we live in, isn't it? How do you get to know God? Time. Listen. Conversation. How many of you have done coffee with God? How many of you did coffee with somebody else this week? I did. Surprise phone call from my son. I'm going to be in Sherwood Park. Can we get together? Oh, you betcha. Have you done coffee with God? Have you just sat down with your espresso? Oh, sorry, you probably don't do espresso. Have you sat down with God and your coffee and said, God, let's talk. And I'll shut up for a change and I'll let you talk. And I'll listen. Because maybe you have some better thoughts than I do. Have you spent time getting to know your God? Because if you don't know him very well, it's not his fault, is it? If you don't know him very well, you're not going to trust him very much. If you don't trust him very much, your faith is kind of small. And if your faith is kind of small, you probably can't claim this verse because you probably haven't learned contentment. You haven't learned to trust God in every situation. I haven't learned that yet. I still face situations that... You want to pull your hair out? You want to beat on somebody? You want to do something? But I'm happy to say that those situations are becoming fewer as I learn to be content, knowing who my God is and having him speak into my life. Listening to him, meeting with him. When's the last time you said something, said thank you for something that you weren't happy about? Or said thank you for a lack that you felt in your life? God, I could really use some more money. Thank you. How do we say thank you? Just say it. Thank you. Thank you. See, when we say thank you, we switch the focus from me to the other person. When I say thank you, I don't say thank me. Yeah, I did it. Thank me. Oh, God, thank you. I don't understand this, God. I'm not saying that you should understand it. I am so thankful for the book of Hebrews. For without understanding, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must know everything about God that there is. Right? No. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is waiting for you to say, thank you. I don't understand. This is not comfortable. This isn't what I had planned for my life. But thank you, because somehow you being good are doing amazing things that I can't even dream of. Somehow you are still good in this. Somehow I can be content. Thank you for putting me here. Thank you for letting me learn faith. Thank you for letting me learn perseverance. Thank you for the hard lessons. We all love the easy ones. We all want to grow, and we all want the easy lessons. Have you thanked him today for the hard ones? But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do it all in Him who gives me strength. Do you have Him in your life today to give you that strength? I'm going to ask the band to come up and those who are helping out with communion. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're going to celebrate communion. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ died to build the relationship that we've been talking about. Cecil, can you just hold off for a minute? Thanks. Thanks. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. We're not quite ready to move yet. Sorry, Cecil. Thanks. Hey, you can't blame him. I change things up like every month. But I want you to take a few minutes. I'm going to read a couple verses here that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And I want you to listen to this carefully. But a person must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Taking part in communion is a serious statement. It is a statement that I know Jesus Christ, that he is my Lord and my Savior, and that there's nothing that I know of that standing in that relationship, that standing in between him and I. I'm going to ask us just to take a couple minutes of quiet prayer, just you and God in silent prayer, doing some business. Do you have the sin of grumbling in your life tonight? Is there something that you need to confess to him? Is there something you need to confess to somebody else? Let's just spend a minute or two in silent prayer. Just you and God and your relationship with him.